Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Trust in local government is built on transparency, not on silence. We deserve to know why the CFO was removed. I ask this council to uphold your obligation to the citizens of this community. Exercise your elected authority, why the citizens put you here, and demand the clarity and accountability that all of us deserve.
So I don't think I'm the only person that views this as a very serious matter. And if there's a reason for the general public not to know, then that needs to be outlined, not next week, it needs to be outlined tonight.
So if you're just joining us, as I know some of you might be, last week on, I feel like we need the recap. The short version is that we've got members of the Pitchfork Posse, founding members of the Pitchfork Posse, the only political party of any significance in the city of Milton, Pam Mitchell and Jerry Cooey, raising hell about the, we don't know exactly at early part of the meeting, but, you know, they think that Curtis Krebs, the CFO, has been fired or terminated. Turns out he's been put on paid administrative leave pending and, figuring out what's going on exactly. And there's been this long drama where they are making allegations and then Mike Cusack is kind of making weird statements and misunderstanding everything that Ed Spears is trying to tell him, because Ed Spears, the city manager, briefed the city council and said, here's what's going on. We're in the middle of an audit. The auditor asked for more information. We're giving it to him. In the meanwhile, it looks like some journal entries, which is kind of like a checking mechanism, basically, for audits, for, bookkeeping. It's not a, like, we're not talking about embezzling or malfeasance or misappropriation or anything, but Mike Cusack keeps saying those words and talking about there being an investigation. And then, you know, how dare you do the investigation of your own subordinate person, which there's no investigation. So anyway, there's been this long drama. If you missed the 5 and the 6 o'clock version of this, I'm just trying to get you caught up. John, did I miss anything that you really want to emphasize here?
No, sir.
Okay. There's also been leaks to the media, leaks to members of the public. The only people who should have known anything about this were city council and senior staff. And somebody called Jerry and Pam. Somebody called the PNJ. They ran an article, and then somebody else, I don't know if it was PNJ or somebody else, asked for a comment and Ed Spears didn't answer. And that got them all upset too. How dare you not answer the media? Well, how did you even know they asked? And how did you know I said no comment? Good questions abound. So now we get to the part where the drama between Mike and Ed has kind of come to a head, and he said, you know, how much money's been misappropriated? Well, none. We don't know that there's anything. Did you tell the police? Well, I mean, yeah, sort of just in case, but really there's no evidence that there's been fraud or a crime of any sort, and Mike just won't let it go. And so finally, Ed says, look, I told y'all, it might have been going on for a long time. Might have predated him. Might have been going on this way for a decade. We don't really know. We're trying to figure it out. Ed's getting attacked for being the one person who seems to have kind of figured it out, and now they're acting on it. Okay, so ready? Ed says, I took the initiative. I was prudent.
I took the initiative to inform you, once again, of a developing situation which may or may not rise to the level of this council being involved. I thought it was prudent. I thought it was wise.
Yeah, but I think a special call meeting would have been done, it where everybody was together to hear it all.
Oh, sorry. I missed the clip I should have played right before that, which is this one. Here we go.
Kind of knowing that we had this situation going on, and it's been going on for just for a while here, don't you think we should have had a special call meeting?
What?
For city council to let them know what was going on?
No, sir. I have very limited facts to give you at this point in time. It's speculation. It's conjecture. And we are working through that. But I also know the reason I briefed you is because the first time you hear about this situation could not be in July with our auditor standing at that podium.
Right. We don't know enough to do a special called meeting. And that was then the next was, you know, I took initiative because I thought it'd be prudent.
I thought it was wise.
Yeah, but I think a special call meeting would have been done, it where everybody was together to hear it all at one time instead of what you may have told this person or that person or whatever. And so the public knows what's going on. It's the taxpayers. This is the taxpayers' money.
And there's going to be a full audit report that's issued to you and the public, and our auditor is going to stand at that podium and tell you what they found. But they will do that when they conclude the audit.
Not now.
And the auditor will not come today and tell you what they found because they haven't completed the audit. It would be premature.
I love watching, again, John's reaction to all this, because John is at exasperation level 11 with Mike Cusack, which is exactly where I am.
I'm like, knowing the whole audit process myself, I'm like, dude, just chill.
Let it go.
Right. And he probably told the same people the same thing.
Right. Everybody got told the same thing. It's preliminary. I just want to make you aware this is happening. We don't know too much yet. We're in a process. Let's let the process play out. And now we're out in the meeting saying things like, is there an investigation? Is there a crime? How much money was stolen? None of which is accurate. All right, we'll pause there. John Pickens has traffic on the Fox.
All right. No accidents to let you know about. No delays either. I-10, I-110, 90-98. Everything is flowing smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Fives.
By the way, this is the background of the story that you've probably seen the P&J article about. And that's why I'm giving you this, because it's all the other stuff that's baked into this that's so important to understand. All right, back to Ed Spears.
But I want to assure counsel, I will not change my methodology. When an emerging issue appears that I believe has the potential to come before this board as a problem, I'm going to brief you, whether it be collectively as a group or one-on-one individually as I chose to do.
But also understand that the employees have rights and there's processes and I can only say so much and I certainly don't know enough to say as much as I'd like to anyway.
That's the way I'm going to do business. I don't want to be put in a situation where I have to worry, is someone going to run to the press or run to a third party who's going to run to the press because I brought an issue to each one of you to tell you, hey, we got a concern here. I'm not going to base my judgment and decision on that.
Although if you did, it would be understandable because that's exactly what happened in this case. Somebody on city council did in fact run to the press. There's no other good explanation. And, inform members of the public or whatever. So, okay, here we are, but I'm still going to do this in the future. If something is worth telling you guys about, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to hope that you don't betray me. Like it almost, John, the old kind of intelligence, counterintelligence kind of stuff where you have three different people and you tell each one a slightly different story. And then you see, because of the action that gets taken, you can figure out who was the leaker. Yeah. I almost wish Ed would have done that. Because he sort of did, but not exactly. Anyway, Mike Cusack.
I'm not asking you to base your decision on media input or out whatever, but I didn't go to any media. But anyway, for transparency, I think the public, all the council people should have been addressed. All should have been addressed in a special call meeting, not individually. That's my opinion. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but that's the way I look at it. So. And, why this is all going on, and since it wasn't, you didn't oversee it correctly, you think you should step away whilst being investigated by the auditors? Just take a leave of absence? Or?
Wait, what? How do you even know it wasn't done properly or overseen properly? We don't even know what the underlying thing is, let alone to make an allegation that he didn't oversee the issue properly. But, okay, let's go ahead.
Why this is all going on, and since it wasn't, you didn't oversee it correctly, you think you should step away whilst being investigated by the auditors? Just take a leave of absence or to that effect or anything like that?
Good Lord.
Once again, they're doing this independent of me. I'm not a part of the process. But you're my supervisors.
I'd like to make a comment when I get a chance.
Oh, Casey Powell to the rescue. By the way, John, remember what I always say? There's always more. We're getting there. It pays off. It gets better. Am I wrong? We're at the point now where Mike Cusack is telling Ed Spears to step away or step down.
And where's his accounting degree, too?
Right. I mean,
since he wants to call out everybody else.
This is just Looney Tunes behavior. It's crazy. So thank God, Casey Powell. Okay, here goes. And he's going to start off nice, but.
I apologize. I'm not trying to be argumentative, but I will say, it doesn't make sense to have a public called meeting for an informational item that was being given to this council.
Correct.
To make sure that we were abreast of a situation.
Correct.
And until we have total information, it doesn't make sense to put out speculations and innuendo.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what city manager was trying to do. And I think, honestly, unfortunately, the comments you're making are very inflammatory. Like, you need to take a leave of absence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want this council to make that decision, you know, pose that to us. That makes no sense. You're asking a manager who is following the process of doing their job something like that. It seems very inflammatory. I don't want that to happen. Hopefully we're not, you know, going that direction. However, I look forward to finding the full scope of the information so that we can all be informed.
Thank God, Casey. I mean, exactly right. By the way, if anybody should take a leave of absence, I have a suggestion. If anybody should step down, I have a suggestion.
I do too.
Ed Spears is now going to, after all of this, Ed Spears is going to be given the chance to just read the statement that he prepared, that he had intended to read in conjunction with John Adams, the attorney.
At this time, the chief financial officer, Curtis Krebs, has been placed on paid administrative leave in accordance with the city's established personnel policies. To preserve the integrity of the process, protect the rights of all involved, and comply with applicable confidentiality obligations, the city will not take questions or provide comments beyond this statement at tonight's meeting. If and when it's appropriate and permissible to share additional information, the city will do so through appropriate channels. I want to assure you that the city's finance department is being actively managed without interruption. We appreciate your understanding and your cooperation.
Correct. I mean, and, you know, for the sake of radio and entertainment and exposing people's silliness, Mike Cusack's silliness, I appreciate that it was allowed to happen all like this, because it does make good radio. John, yes?
Yes, I agree, sir.
But also, if Ed had been just allowed to say that from the beginning, and then maybe we could have been done with it. Robert Leake, city council member. And by the way, Casey was there before and was not a member of the Pitchfork Posse at all. In fact, he ran unopposed, and I think if they had had a chance to oppose him, they would have too. But remember, the Pitchfork Posse swept out all four people of the city council that were on the other side. And now Robert Leake was part of the four that came in with kind of their support.
I have no report, but I would like to say something about the previous topic, though. You know, I agree with Councilman Powell. You know, I think the way that our city manager handled this was appropriate. He let each one of us know. The audit is still ongoing, and, you know, there's no alarm at the moment, so I don't believe that there should be a special called meeting or any meeting or a news release.
Correct.
Of these findings until the audit is complete. And I believe that Mr. Spears handled this the way that he should have.
Exactly right. Ashley Fretwell, another one of the new city council members.
Regarding the CFO matter, as far as a special called meeting, I don't feel like it was warranted because, number one, we don't have the audit results. We don't have all of the facts. I'm fine with a special called meeting if someone can pull all of us in here away from everything else that we do to say, these are the facts, this is what's going on, this is how we're handling it. But this was more of an informational notification. So I am okay with the way that Mr. Spears handled it. I mean, he, you know, contacted me, sat down, gave me all the facts. The same facts that he presented tonight are the same, you know, same information that I got from him the other day. I'm all for a special called meeting. As long as you can answer all of my questions all at one time, you know, that way we have transparency and information for the public as well. So that is my comment on that. Thank you.
Exactly. See, here's the good news. Even the other city council members, even the ones that you would think might be kind of aligned with Mike Cusack and the Pitchfork Posse and Heather Lindsay and Marilyn Farrow, are not. They're scolding him. They're telling him, you're crazy. I mean, they're being nice about it. We shouldn't have had a special call meeting. That's absurd. But stepping away, asking Ed Spears to step down or step away, it's all nonsense. And thank God Casey Powell really said it out loud, because he's exactly right. All right, so John, there you go. That's your episode of Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. You want to add anything?
No, sir.
So when the audit is complete, figure out how serious it was. It seems like it was really not all that serious. It seems like if the things that were maybe not done quite right might be fairly minor, but might not have been done right for a long time, and Ed Spears is the one that's actually dealing with it. We'll see whether that turns out to be true. We'll see whether Mike Cusack apologizes to the folks from Donovan Hill or to Ed Spears or to Curtis Krebs or to anyone. And, you know, I mean, time will tell. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything to slow you down. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yes, it wound up being a good thing, right? Because the rest of your city council, your staff are all fairly competent people. So, in contrast. All right, so if... One of our new advertisers here on the show, Ace Unlocks, Chris Roney, I was just talking to him the other day. He's the owner, the founder. They started by unlocking car doors for students at UWF, like, you know, almost 30 years ago in 1998. They thought they'd get a couple a month. They got two a day. Like, they were doing this all the time for just $20 to be affordable. But they started this out of a 4Runner and a Mustang with a pager and a payphone, you know, and now they've built their business. And the thing he was telling me is like, Andrew, the biggest problem we have is our name, because people think all we do is unlock locked cars. But we do all kinds of things like fob replacement, or if you need a, you know, even a control module in your car you're working on. Like if you'd like to do self-repairs and you want to know how to program that thing, they have all that information. They can download the information to program it based on your VIN. They've got access to that just like a dealership would. Same thing with the fobs. They have all the technology to do exactly what a dealership would be able to do. So they can, if you replaced it, or you damaged it, lost it, whatever the case may be. Residential locks, they do all of that, you know, keypad locks, app-based locks. Anyway, if you have something related to locks, Ace Unlocks. They are located on Airport Boulevard at 125, right at the railroad tracks near Palafox, or you can check them out by giving them a call, 505-7545.
Discouraged? Defeated? Disappointed? You're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio, and finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. Mmm. With four locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Hi, this is Congressman Jimmy Patronis. This is your reminder that we're officially in hurricane season. Don't wait for a storm to be named to get your plan together, especially if you have pets or elderly family members. Make sure you have at least 3 days of food and water and medications. Go to jimmyhelpsyou.com for more tips. Together we can prepare, and together we will respond to whatever Mother Nature has in store.
Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
What the hell is happening?
I blew up the building.
Why?
Because you made a phone call.
.729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Major storms across southern Illinois, Indiana yesterday. I know Effingham got a tornado, maybe an EF2. We're not quite sure what the scope of that was. If you know Illinois, you know, and if you don't, well, that's a town. we are getting the beginning of some stuff here. This is the remnants of previous prior tropical cyclone or post-tropical cyclone Arthur, and we're going to be getting rain all day. Most of the bulk of the center of this thing looks like it's going to miss us to the north, but, you know, keep your eyes open. You never know. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, a retired Marine that served in Vietnam is getting a Medal of Honor today. Major James Capers Jr. led his team through a deadly ambush in 1967, got his 9-man team to a helicopter for evacuation after 4 days and nights of fighting. Today, he's being honored with the nation's highest military award.
Fox News, I'm TJ Papa. The U.S. and Iran signed on the dotted line. It's another step toward ending the war for good. Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv.
Many details still have to be discussed in relation to Iran's nuclear program. They have made commitments in this memorandum of understanding, and now Iran's top negotiators will meet with American mediators to try and work out a path forward. We know the Qataris are involved in this process to actually make the schedule of when these meetings are going to take place.
The deal also eases sanctions and opens the Strait of Hormuz. A little rain in the forecast for the ticker tape parade in lower Manhattan to celebrate the NBA champion New York Knicks.
I'm so excited.
Some fans lining up overnight. Fox 5 New York reporter Robert Moses along the Canyon of Heroes.
People as far as the eye can see, and every so often this crowd will break out in chants.
The celebration begins at 10 a.m. Eastern. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 78 degrees, cloudy skies, looking like a rainy day in store for us. We're going to check on our forecast in just a few minutes. And the National Weather Service is warning of dangerous, potentially life-threatening flash flooding risks through Friday. Remnants of Tropical Storm Arthur pumping a lot of moisture into the region. 6, possibly up to 12 inches of rain through the week. The biggest flooding risk is today. Severe storms capable of isolated tornadoes and damaging winds are also possible. And again, we'll get more with Brooke Richardson from Channel 3 in just a minute. Escambia County may be getting closer to formally restricting data center development. Commissioner Lumen May asking to bring that issue to the regular commission meeting last night. This was during the Gary Sansing Public Forum. Several commissioners indicated support for taking up that discussion.
I'm going to have a meeting about data centers just because I missed, you know, all the things that I wanted to go to. So, I mean, there will be a conversation tonight. I'm happy to put it on the agenda. And I think that all of my colleagues serve with me are nodding in agreement.
But then the county attorney did tell commissioners the formal process would require a vote directing staff to schedule a public hearing on an ordinance during a public comment. One speaker did say more than 5,000 people had signed a petition calling for a ban on data centers in Escambia County. Walton County approved a data center ban recently, and Pensacola city leaders are discussing their own ordinance as well. Well, an update on that federal corruption case in Pritchard, Alabama. Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch says the department's evidence room is the most disorganized that he has ever seen. Birch described sexual assault kits stacked on the floor, unlabeled guns he said were tossed in buckets and desk drawers, and a long gun was found lying on the floor next to a toilet. Birch says it could take up to 6 months to catalog everything there. Pritchard police officers are not being allowed inside of their building during that time. The sheriff estimates that he spent tens of thousands of dollars on overtime last Tuesday alone. Well, millions of Americans are making plans for the 4th of July holiday weekend. AAA forecasting more than 72 million travelers nationwide. That would mark a 5.3% jump from last year. Port cities, of course, are expected to draw large crowds. Orlando remains a top spot for people heading out on Independence Day as well. Experts point to the nation's 250th birthday, World Cup excitement, and a weekend holiday calendar as some major factors. Florida Senator Rick Scott touting the Senate Armed Services Committee's version of the National Defense Authorization Act, saying it includes more than $900 million in military construction funding for the state of Florida. Scott says the bill takes steps to consider China and strengthen national security as well. The full Senate still needs to pass the measure before it can become law. It's 7:35, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've only got one accident on the books right now, but I'm not seeing any delays associated with it at Avalon Boulevard and the Garcelon Point Bridge. But again, I'm not seeing any delays right now, so just wanted to let you know about Highway 90 coming into Pensacola. Experience about a 6-minute delay. That's about all I see. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a high chance of rain today, showers and thunderstorms. There's a threat of severe weather as you head into your afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 82 degrees. Going into your Friday, another high chance of showers and thunderstorms, 90% chance of rain, high near 87. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Saturday, we will have a 60% chance of rain with a high near 88 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 78 degrees, cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Outgoing CME Group CEO Terrence Duffy said on CNBC that the exchange operator will sue the Commodity Futures Trading Commission over the agency's move to approve perpetual futures. Perpetual futures are like future contracts but have no expiration date. Roelof Botha, who worked with Elon Musk at PayPal in the dot-com era, is joining the SpaceX board. Since 2003, Botha has worked at venture capital firm Sequoia, which is a big investor in SpaceX. The rocket company completed a record IPO last week and has a market cap of $2.5 trillion. Rising fuel prices driven by the Iran war are boosting demand for new and used electric vehicles across Europe, though some executives warn interest could fade if they fall. Data provided by New Automotive shows new EV registrations rose 34% year-on-year in May across 17 markets, covering more than 90% of the European Union and the European Free Trade Association car sales. Futures have gone higher this morning. That's your money now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Nothing says happy birthday like an ice-cold Coca-Cola. So to celebrate America's 250th, drink in the fireworks, share bubbly hellos, and embrace every fizzy feeling with the refreshing taste of an American classic. This summer, pick up a Coca-Cola at your favorite retailer. Happy 250th birthday, America.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Work in conjunction with Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and they've been coming over and utilizing our dorms while they're empty. Of course, the students will move in as we begin the new year, but right now they're empty, and it affords us the opportunity to give a good landscape for some training and help everyone, do the drills that are associated with active shooter training. And then in conjunction with that, we get to work with Escambia County and So it's a great relationship builder for us, and then gives some real life, feel to the rooms and the scenarios that they're trying to do and make sure these officers are trained properly.
That is Police Chief Roman Jackson, the police chief at the University of West Florida. Mike Wood, we're not having him on this week. We just kind of talked about it beforehand. We're like, there's nothing going on. Let's just talk next week. And so that's, which happens sometimes. If you ever wonder why we skip a week with somebody, that's usually why. But instead, yesterday there was an active shooter drill at UWF. And, the afternoon show, Chris interviewed Chief Roman Jackson. And, you know, it was interesting. I got a note from somebody. A listener had texted me and said, hey, you know, I was just at UWF and I saw gunfire. I'm like, what? You know, and pay attention. So I had texted our newsroom and I got a hold of the chief, and I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? He's like, oh, it's a practice drill. I'm like, whew, thank goodness. But, you know, put a note up on Facebook. Hey, if you hear shots or whatever, here's what's going on. But, you know, kudos Chris Bryan doing an interview with him and asking him, which makes perfect sense. I mean, if you're going to do an active shooter drill at UWF, when do you do it? During the summer when nobody's around and nobody can misunderstand, although still they did, and which is fine. I mean, okay, that happens. But, you know, get them. I love the idea of, you know, ECSO partnering with UWFPD and, you know, getting around the campus and going in the dorm rooms. And because, you know, it's one thing to train on unknown rooms. And, of course, you got to be prepared for anything. But it really makes sense that if you're going to have a response in a dorm that you would try to, it'd be better if you were familiar with what the dorms were like, right? So that makes perfect sense to me.
You feel that the students appreciate this type of training?
I do. I think that we get good feedback from the students, and we keep them involved throughout the year. Honestly, most of these students grew up learning the run, hide, fight method with associated with active shooter training. But so they come from high school with somewhat of an understanding of it, and now we just build on that, and we continue throughout the year, giving them PowerPoints and lessons throughout the classrooms, or we bring them down. I mean, we've actually had students come down to the simulator system and see how we do scenarios there as well. So this is just coming full circle. And for our law enforcement officers, it's real-time training. And that's the biggest thing, is that you're actually standing in a real room and working through scenarios. And so that's probably why the statistics are so good, right? When you can do hands-on training, you're going to get the best results.
You know, that's an interesting note. I hadn't quite thought of it that way until he said it, but John Columbine was, what, 97?
Somewhere around in there.
In that vicinity. So we're 30 years post-Columbine now, right? Which means that that means that you're 30-year-olds. You're 25-year-olds. Yeah, 30-year-olds. Yeah, 35-year-olds, in fact, I'm thinking about it. Because anybody who would have been in school at that time and since, those folks have all lived in the school shooting environment. They're used to, you know, run, hide, fight. They're used to thinking about backpack defense and, you know, all these crazy things we've had to do. And it had never occurred to me that that is a whole different generation. You know, my generation was duck and cover.
Yeah.
Because the nuclear war is coming and that, you know, spindly little chair is going to save you.
Or severe weather.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Right. Which, you know, tornado drills and all that in the Midwest, hurricane. Do you do hurricane drills?
Yeah, we do.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because you have a long time to know they're coming.
Right.
But okay. Anyway.
But you still prepare.
Yeah. So Roman Jackson, back to him. I just thought it was interesting that this generation, and even the prior one in a sense, has grown up in an environment where thinking about school shooters is a thing. We never thought about that. I mean, good Lord. I can actually remember a time when I was in class with a kid who was showing me a little two-shooter, like a purse gun he must have stolen from his mom in class, and we thought it was weird, but nobody said anything. Nobody cared. It was just, I mean, but it was just a different world. It was a different world. Anyway, so, not today. Anyway, Roman Jackson, again, on the value of training.
I would rather train, and I know that Escambia County feels the same way. You'd rather train so that you're prepared for something. And I know, you know, from myself being through a critical incident before in the past, as a law enforcement officer, I know that training matters. And so I think that the more you train, the more prepared you are. And I have a motto that I share with a lot of my guys, you know, practice doesn't make perfect. I'd say perfect practice makes perfect.
Correct. So good to see that being in action again yesterday at UWF. UWFPD in conjunction with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office doing some training, active shooter training, which is always a good thing for them to be doing. Let's see. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, one of the things that happens is when you sit down to talk about price with them, they're going to give you a price sheet, and it's going to have a, like, out-the-door bottom-line price, and that's all you ever talk about. There's no, like, let's haggle, and then afterwards there's a change. No, that's it. And it's attached to, like, stapled to a Carfax report. And a Carfax, if you're not familiar, is just the automotive maintenance and repair damage history for the car to the degree that it's been reported, okay? If people might have done stuff that didn't get reported, that happens. It's a good start. Well, if you go, I mean, it really is good information, but if you go to some, you know, corner lot or Facebook marketplace and you're buying a car, they may not have a Carfax for you. Well, all you got to do is call Frontier, and Frontier will do you a Carfax. It's very easy for them to do. They'll do that for you even if you're buying a car from somebody else. You say, why would they do that? To be helpful. That's it. Now, I recommend, you know, Frontier has a warranty, 10 years or 100,000 miles. Other people, you get what you get. But I recommend you go to a good mechanic you trust and get a used vehicle inspection. Trust me, it's worth the money. But if the short version is, you can start with the Carfax and you can start by asking Frontier to do it. Again, I always talk about how they serve the community, and that's just a little way. I mean, it's a small thing, but it's their attitude is, even if you're buying a car from somebody else, we want to help you make sure that you make a good decision. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Traffic on the fives now with John Pickens.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened at Avalon Boulevard and Garcelon Point Bridge Road. If you are traveling southbound on Avalon approaching that, you're seeing about a 5 to 6 minute delay for that. Let's see here. Highway 90 is back to flowing smoothly. But 9 mile westbound on as you approach the I-10 right there, we're seeing some delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Just a quick note, we are looking at rain today. The remnants of the tropical cyclone Arthur, it's gotten downgraded again off of a tropical storm. It's over land. It's basically over southeastern Louisiana and southern Mississippi, southwestern Alabama. It looks like the center of the storm might track to our north, so we shouldn't get the bulk of it. We may still get a ton of rain. We'll see as the day develops. But just kind of, you know, be aware that today is probably not going out and getting a suntan day.
Party down with a big bang as Shelton Fireworks celebrates being in business for 50 years. They're located on I-10 at exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton's has the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks. They have the largest finale cakes and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's got it. Located on I-10 at exit 53. That's the first Alabama exit in Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonsfireworks.com. Shelton's Fireworks, home of the big ones.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Today at 9, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Opening Doors of Northwest Florida's Bruce Cady and Brad Bishop, Executive Director of Offensive Corp., their partner operating the new Santa Rosa County Bicycle Street Outreach Project. Opening Doors is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care in our area. Don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, sponsored by DeLuna Lanes, where it never rains and no one sits the bench.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Wait, Master. It might be dangerous. You go first.
Morning, 749, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. We got a preliminary version of the Iran deal. And what I say that is, it is the deal, but it didn't get given to us. It got read to us, apparently. I don't know. I wasn't in the room, but just everything about this has been weird so far. I'm still being cautious about having too much to say about it, but it doesn't look great. I'm not sure that the big issues have really been solved. Will they be solved in the next 60 days? It remains to be seen. Instead of involving other countries like China, Russia, UK, and Germany, this is just bilateral. It's just us. Nikki Haley is against it. Nikki Haley is a very capable person. Mike Pence, I think, has come out in criticism of it. I know Lindsey Graham had concerns, and now he says he's kind of had those concerns. It doesn't put limits on Iran's conventional military. In fact, it seems to allow something along the lines of they can have a number of ballistic missiles proportional to the stockpiles of neighboring countries. Is that going to have numbers? Is there verification? Because remember, the original argument that Rubio made was they have so many missiles and so many drones that if we don't take out their capability now, as they are continually building, they will have the ability to create such a response that nobody will be willing to attack them. And within that conventional defense capability, they will have deterred action against them while they then can be free to go ahead and build nuclear weapons. You know, because the idea of nuclear deterrence is you make the enemy unwilling to attack you because you can attack back with such devastating effect. Well, if you can attack back with conventional forces, it doesn't really matter. It's the same outcome. And if you've created a non-nuclear shield, you can then go ahead and build your nuclear weapons. And once they get nuclear, it's all over because we're not going to attack. Despite what Trump says about, you know, we would attack them. No, I mean, look at North Korea. We don't attack them. Okay, because once they have nukes, that's kind of the end. Unless you take the view that they are absolutely going to use them and, well, we're going to have to take a nuclear hit in order to prevent a real all-out nuclear war. I mean, these are crazy calculations. The short version is that if we're not going to do anything about their ballistic missile capability and their drones, I don't know that we won, except that we may be pushed off problems for a little while. Consequences for funding terrorism, I would think that would be a big key because that has been an issue in the region. Doesn't look like that's a part of the deal. Is this much better than the JCPOA? Again, initial reaction, it doesn't seem to be that much different. Meanwhile, they have been enriching to 60%, which means they're real close to weapons grade 90%. The JCPOA had a cap at under 4% for 15 years. So I don't know. It doesn't look great. I'm not sure that I buy Pete Hegseth's assessment that we've shown them we're serious about actually using force. That only extends as long as Trump is president. Right? I mean, will anybody else be willing to use force? So I don't want to say it's a complete loss or a waste or we didn't do something significant in destroying or degrading their capability. I just not willing to say it just yet, but the initial indicators are not super strong, in my opinion. 7:52 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Three former presidents are expected to join Barack Obama today for the opening of the new Obama Presidential Center. The Chicago Sun-Times says former Presidents Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Joe Biden are all set to appear at a ceremony at that facility in Chicago. There are still apparently no signs of Nancy Guthrie after a search of the Arizona border. Volunteers and search groups made another effort this week to find the missing mother of Today Show host Savannah Guthrie. Volunteers conducted several searches after receiving an anonymous tip that her remains were buried. And Lil Nas X is apparently back on social media, Andrew, and giving fans an update.
Well, thank goodness. I've been waiting.
Well, I know you have. And apparently he's been having some mental health struggles. He's been in rehab, and he's now trying to ground himself back to earth. And he says, and I know you'll be excited for this, new music is on the way.
Oh, thank God. Or something.
What we've all been waiting for.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, we have a little bit of follow-up on the data center drama. You know, and by the way, no, I did not watch the Escambia County Commission meeting last night. I didn't even get yet to the Committee of the Whole meeting yesterday. I was so busy with Milton. And, you know, these people just never think about my schedule. This week has been so many meetings. And I've got the Children's Trust meeting that I've watched to get to. I've got the TDC meeting, which was phenomenally entertaining, and I got to get to that. And then, you know, Escambia has two meetings. Haven't done that yet. PSC had a meeting. Haven't done that yet. There was a town hall with Steve Stroberger. Ah, people. Get there when we can. Anyway, you remember earlier this week, Charles Baer, City Councilman Charles Baer, came out and said that he's working on an ordinance to ban data centers in the city of Pensacola.
Thank you, Madam President. And for those of you that aren't aware, Walton County, the County Commission just passed an ordinance that would prohibit data centers from being constructed in their boundaries. And I'm working on an ordinance that we can consider for July that will kind of mirror that.
So he's found the group to be with is those who oppose data centers. And by the way, last night at the county commission, I mean, I think it was 2 hours of public forum, and it was just all people about the data centers. I saw one woman even had written it like on her face in black marker. Protect Escambia. People have gone over the edge on this issue. It's wild. Anyway, so yesterday it came up in the press conference with Mayor D.C. Reeves.
I don't think that the largest potential threat of data centers to the city of Pensacola is that a data center would be located inside the city limits. I think our largest threat would be us taking on potential negative environmental impacts downstream. Right. So if there were to be one in the county, in the region somewhere, that is what would be the biggest concern to me by far is, you know, water flows this way. The rivers flow this way.
And that's exactly right. It's not necessarily what goes on in the city, because in the city it's unlikely to happen. It's, you know, how would something in the county, just because of the way the geography is working, how would it be in the county and how would that affect us? 437-1620, 437-1620. He went on to say things like the power grid might be affected, and that's also something the city would care about.
What's happening in the rest of the county could have some, the power grid does not stop at the city limit line, right? So there's all of these infrastructure things that would have some ancillary impact on us. That's probably our more realistic in terms of just this city. That's the thing that we really need to be staying on top of and monitoring, and something that if there was a conversation about a moratorium or ban or anything else, at whether the city level, the county, that I would want to understand what kind of our legal position is and how can we defend our city to ensure that if something out of our control does take place, that our environment's protected and our citizens' environment's protected. That would be my number one concern, and probably slightly more realistic than the idea that a large data center would be going in inside the city limits, given property constraints and everything else like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. 7:56 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. We are back to not rolling accident free. Let's see. We have a vehicle crash on I-10 westbound right around mile marker number 22, which is the Avalon Boulevard exit. So just be prepared for that. There's just minor delays. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. And we do have a National Weather Service alert. There's a tornado watch that's been issued for Baldwin, Alabama, Escambia, Florida. All the coastal waters from Pensacola, Florida, Pascagoula, Mississippi, out 20 miles, nautical miles. Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, Choctawhatchee Bay, Perdido Bay area, and the coastal waters in Destin to Pensacola, out to 20 nautical miles. That began this morning and began at 7:55 and is going to go out until, 5:30, I think, is when it's supposed to end. So just be aware that we are watching the possibility of severe weather in our area kind of all day today. Like I said, when I look at it, looks like the center of the storm is probably going to go to our north, but obviously there can be spinoff effects. And even though it is a post-tropical cyclone, Arthur, it is still something we should be paying attention to. Hey, if you need to get work done inside your home, work on the air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, heating and air conditioning, obviously they can take care of that at Peden, all along the Gulf Coast, everywhere from Panama City to Mobile. They've been expanding territory, expanding product lines. I mean, originally it was just, you know, air conditioning, but Robert Peden, after starting in 1969 in Panama City, has been expanding ever since. Good quality products, good people, the right installation the first time, a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So whatever the work is that you need done, they will take care of you. And right now, this spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system purchase from Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service, and 15% off repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, PEDEN.com. I have such a short-term memory span. I've been watching you play with the dials and the knobs. Have we gone to David yet this segment? Have I done? Okay, I thought we did, but I just wasn't sure. I didn't want to skip him. David, I didn't want to skip you in case we hadn't. 437-1620. To me, one of the funniest stories of the day yesterday was a little thing that came out of Boston where the World Cup and the soccer fans were in town from Scotland. Of course, Boston's a big Irish town, and why is this newsworthy? Only for the following reason, that several of the bars, including the Sam Adams Tap Room, ran out of beer. Because they've never seen this volume of liquor consumption in their alcohol consumption in their lives. Apparently, even in the proud Irish drinking town of Boston, when the Scots come to town, you better stock up. So they drank bars dry, the Scottish soccer fans did. And all I can think of is, you know, the poor people from Boston don't have a lot to cheer about. And now they can't even brag about being the best drunks.